50 and verse number 21. Until next time, may God bless and may God keep is our prayer.
As well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, good morning. Pastor Derry here with Missions for Christ International. Our website is missionsforchrist.org. I would like to talk to you today about the need for a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then again we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. We might say it differently in our day, such as, we need to set goals. Without setting goals, nothing is really ever accomplished. And every person needs to set goals for himself. I'm now in the 88th year of my life, and I realize, man, I need to set a goal for what I'm going to do in the remainder of my life. And I have set goals before and reached them. When I was a young man, my desire was to become an airline pilot. That was a goal that I had. And I achieved that goal when I was 65 years old. Wow. Took me a long time, but I finally got there. I became an airline pilot for Atlantic Coast Airways. And I was a first officer and flew 2 years for United Airlines subsidiary that was called United Express. I also had some other goals when I was a young man. One of them was to become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have recognized that everyone needs some goals to set in their life. You might have a goal of losing certain weight. I've had a goal of losing 20 pounds of weight for the last 20 years. I'm still working on it. I'll probably get there pretty soon. And we make New Year's resolutions every year, setting goals. And God gives us goals. He puts in us the desire to do certain things. And these are dreams that we have. And they turn into goals when we start doing something about the dreams. I have another goal that I've just recently set and now I'm doing something about, and that is to become a calling person, calling on people that need help in their lives, going to see them and ministering to them by taking communion to them, by baptizing them if they need to be baptized, or praying for them and whatever they need prayer for. And I'm calling you to respond to this vision that I have in my life. So that if you would like to go to our website, there's a page there that says Contact Us. And you can put your name and address there and a brief thing of why you would like me to come and see you or come and call upon you. And I will do it. You might say, I'm too old to do this. Well, I'm 88, but I've been doing it for a long time. I've been preaching for a long time. I've been calling on people, baptizing them, taking communion to them, praying for them. I've seen a lot of people saved, not only here, but another goal we had was to go to Africa as missionaries. This was a dream that God put in our hearts, and Donna and I did get to Africa, and we served in Africa some 12 years, not only in Africa, but going back and forth, raising money from churches to support us. And there are many people that I will meet in heaven after we get there, after Jesus comes back, whom I have baptized in Africa and elsewhere, many people that I've helped along the way. And it's going to be a great reunion when we see those that we have met in this life and those that we have ministered to. And again, I'm looking forward very much to seeing my wife Donna again. She went to be with the Lord this past August. I miss her terribly, and my great hope now And my goal and my vision is that I will see her again, and that's a promise that I believe Christ has given to me and to all those who love him, that they will see their loved ones in heaven when we finally all get there. What a day of rejoicing that is going to be. Wow, it's going to be great, great, great. So if you've lost a loved one and they're with Christ and you're with Christ, you'll see them again. You'll be reunited with your loved ones if you are a Christian and if they've gone to see the Lord Jesus Christ and if they are Christians as well. And this is a great hope. We hope as others who have no hope, the Apostle Paul says, for we shall see him as he is and we shall be like him, resurrected body like his resurrected body, that all those who love him shall receive in the last hour, the last trump, when Jesus Christ shall return, as he promised in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul talks us and saying, I would not have you sorrow of those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and rose again, we shall not precede those who have fallen asleep in him. Oh, I got to turn to the pages and read it. I know it's there, and I know it's in my mind, but 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those which are asleep or have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the voice of the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wow, it's still there. The word of God is so true. And just like Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And the place I am going, you know. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Boy, it thrills my heart just to read these scriptures or to quote them again out of God's most holy and precious word. His word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. And his word I will hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. That comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 119. If you're having some difficulty, go back to the Psalms and begin reading right there. Where should you begin? Hey, Psalms 1 is a good place. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his law, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Now, I get excited when I start reading the Word of God and remember the words of God. I can't help it. There's a fire that burns in me, and it's just got to get out. And man, I love to preach the Word and to teach it. And the one disadvantage that I have now is that I have to preach to a microphone instead of to a congregation of people. I wish I was still a minister that I could preach to people alive and could hear their response to the preaching of the word. And God gave that privilege to me, and I've preached to many churches for many years, and I've thought sometimes that, well, I really didn't do too well today, but then again, I realize that whenever I'm preaching the word, the most important thing is God's word and not my word. And so if I can get God's word to the people, which is what I'm trying to do right now, that's the most important thing. For the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8, and following, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now let's go back to that first scripture that I quoted for you, Proverbs 29:18, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation of that, which I like, is where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. You see, God's word is given to guide us into the truth and to help us in our life to follow Christ. And there's another text, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. The Bible says, the word of God was precious in those days. There was no open revelation. And there was a time for 400 years before Jesus came when there was no Bible written. 400 years between the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the first book of the New Testament, which would be Matthew, when no revelation was given by God to the people to be written down. That was the time when the people were sitting in darkness before they had seen a great light, and that great light we know to be Jesus Christ. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this was the beginning of that great light that the Apostle Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians in the fourth chapter in the fourth verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, I'd like to remind you about this idea of visions and goal setting of Walt Disney, who had a dream in his heart that he wanted a place that would be a great place of recreation that a family could come to and bring their children and be entertained with good, wholesome entertainment. And he had this dream that he would later call Disney World. And then he died, of course, before the dream was completed and Disney World came into being. And there were those that said, oh, it's such a shame he didn't see it before he died. But then quick came the answer, but he did see it. He saw it before anybody else saw it. He saw it in his dream, a vision of a great, wonderful place with all of the hot rides and all of the characters and all of the exhibitions and so on. Yes, he saw it. He dreamed it. He had a goal, and it came into reality. And you can have a dream and a vision too, but make sure it's a good dream and a good vision, not one that is not worth your while. In fact, every great accomplishment starts out as a dream. Some young boy may dream to be a wonderful football player, and he dreams it and he works for it and he works for it and he finally arrives and he becomes a star in the National Football League. And they just started a new football league, and I'm so glad they did, because it fills up my Sunday afternoons with football, and I miss the NFL and the AFL, and now we got the USFL, United States Football League. Every singer, every musician who rises to stardom starts with a dream of what that might be in his or her life. Every athlete, every politician, everyone who does anything of worthwhile in his life starts out with a dream, a vision. Go back in the Bible and see if it's not so. Joseph, who was a dreamer who had the dream and then became prime minister of Egypt. And even those in the Bible that didn't have dreams, but God had a dream for them, like Moses, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the women of the Bible. God gave them dreams or had a dream for them that perhaps they didn't even know, but they fulfilled that dream. And you can have a dream too. This is what God wants you to have. And God wants you to go forward with that dream. I said last week that God did not design airplanes to go backwards. And I told you about the incident in my life when I found myself flying in an airplane that went backwards, and I realized, oh, I was in big trouble, because man did not design airplanes to go backwards, and God did not design you to go backwards either. He's designed you to go forward and to forget those things of your past that were mistakes and so on, and to go forward with your life. And this is what the Apostle Paul was exhorting the people of Philippi to do in the book of Philippians, when he's talking about his following of Christ, and he says that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now listen to what he says in the 12th verse. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been baptized into him, the Bible says you have received his Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter said to the crowd on the day of Pentecost. And I'll always remind you of this. When they were convicted of their sin, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that gift was given to you when you obeyed Christ in Christian baptism. And the Bible says in Acts 5, verse 32, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. And you need this Holy Spirit to guide you in your everyday life, to keep you from sinning, to help you to walk after Christ, and to follow his example. You cannot do it without the Spirit of God, but God has given you the Spirit. He has not only given you life, he has empowered you through his Holy Spirit to live your life for Christ. You cannot live your life for Christ apart from him. And Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's true. We cannot do anything apart from Christ. And if we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit to enable us to do whatever God wants us to do. Now, you don't get this Holy Spirit by disobedience to God. You get it by obedience to Christ. And this is the same way you get the blood of Christ applied to your life. There are three ways in Scripture where we see that the blood of Christ is applied to us. The first way is baptism. I've talked to you about this before. And the Apostle Paul says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that God, that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't you know that as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. That's important. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death, the place that he shed his blood. And it's at baptism that you first get the blood of Christ applied to your life by your obedience to Jesus Christ in Christian baptism. And the second way you get the blood of Christ applied to your life is through the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion of Christ, where he said, this is my body, drink this, do this, eat this in remembrance of me. And in like manner, he took the cup after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. So when you attend church on the Lord's Day and you observe the Lord's Supper, you are coming again into contact with the blood of Christ. And the third way that you come in contact with the blood of Christ is by walking with Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle John says in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Jesus and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now listen to the seventh verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you need a vision for your life. You need to be doing something with your life. You need to get off your backside, may I say it? Get out of bed, get busy, and start doing something. And the best way to get a vision for your life is to start with God. Start with prayer. Pray to God that God will give you a vision. And he will give you a vision that only you can fulfill. There's no one like you in the rest of the world. God, when he made you, he made no other one like you. You're the only one that can do what you can do. You are unique. You are a one-of-a-kind example of God. And God will give you a vision. Just pray to him, God, give me a vision. God, give me a vision that I might do with my life what you want me to do. And then he will give you that vision, and you will be able to follow him. And you will find joy in your life, joy that you've never had before, because now you're doing something worthwhile. Now you've got a purpose for living. Now, just let me give you this word of caution, or perhaps word of warning, that when you do get a vision, God will show you in some way what he wants you to do. And you have to stay with that vision and work on it and don't quit. Like Winston Churchill said in World War II, never give up, never give up, never, 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 ever give up. You got to keep working on your vision. And there's going to be obstacles. Satan's going to put obstacles in your path because he doesn't want you to have a vision. Satan will come against you and try to destroy you and defeat you and keep you from fulfilling your visions. Just like when Joseph was going down into Egypt. He was sold into slavery. He was in jail. And he had all kinds of problems. He was accused of trying to seduce Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown in jail. And everyone who has any kind of a vision is always going to suffer problems, obstacles to overcome. When Jesus was walking on the water and Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. That's what you need to do. Get out of your boat. And started walking on the water. But the Bible says when he saw the waves, when he saw the difficulty, when he saw the obstacles, he began to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And you are going to see obstacles in your pursuit of your vision to fulfill it. No one ever learns to play the trumpet until he plays a bunch of wrong notes, or any musical instrument for that matter. You're always going to start out with making a lot of mistakes. And there's going to be difficulty, and you have to stay with it, and stay with it, and stay with it. I am reminded of the words of Harry Emerson Fosdick, who was a great 19th century preacher back in the streets of New York. And he said, a lot of people came to hear him preach. And one of the things he said was this: no life ever becomes great unless it is first focused, dedicated, disciplined. And I'm encouraging you to focus your life on a vision that God will give you, a vision, a good vision, a worthwhile goal for your life, and dedicate your life to it, and discipline your life to it, so that you might accomplish what God wants you to accomplish with your life. Now, if you'd like to hear more about how to accomplish your vision, I'd like to invite you to come to my church. I'm a member there. I'm not the minister, but I'm a member. It's the Tomoka Christian Church on Anderson Avenue in Palm Bay, Florida. Our minister is David Fitzgerald. He'll be glad to welcome you, and I will be there too to welcome you, to share with you. And don't forget what I said. If you want me to come and visit you at your home, I'd be glad to do that. Just go to my website, missionsforchrist.org. Go to the page that says contact us. Put your name and address in there and a message. And my phone number will be there. You can give me a call. And I'll make arrangements to come and see you, to pray for you, and to be with you. Well, out of time for now. Guess that's all for today. Go to church this Lord's Day. Hope to maybe see you in my church this morning at 10:30, the Tomoka Christian Church on Emerson Avenue in Palm Bay. You can find it. You know how to do that. And for now, may the God bless you, make his face to shine upon you, give you peace, not only for you, but all your loved ones as well, is my prayer in Jesus' name. See you next week, Sunday morning, 9 a.m., here on radio station 1510, FM 100.7 FM. Bye-bye for now.
Come on, snap your finger like this and pat your foot. I survived the worst of times, because the Lord was there.
It's no goodness of my own, but it's the hand of the Lord that's upon me. It's no goodness of my own, but it's the hand of the Lord that's upon me. Come on, choir. It's no goodness.
It's no goodness.
But the hand
is the hand of the Lord that's upon me.
Come on, choir.
It's no goodness of my own. It's the hand of the Lord that's upon me.
Come on, take me out.
I heard my
grandmother said, I'm so thankful.
Is it all right if I tell you a story? start to cry. Now you can dry all those tears that come through feet with his supply. Tomorrow may bring one or two things that you don't like. And if it does, you can rise above.
You can rise above.
And we
a little prayer and faith.
Listening to WWBC 1510 AM, W234BI 94.7 FM, and W264AS 100.7 FM.
You see life. happens to everyone. And there are things we all must overcome. But take heart, my friend, don't be alarmed, 'cause there is safety in His arms. I know the way sometimes it's not so clear, and you don't even feel God is near, but be reminded through the words of this song there is safety in His arms.
You see, life happens to everyone.
But take heart.
Stay
on Him.
Safety.
Ah,
safety.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah.
your season to be blessed. God made you a promise, you stood the test. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be blessed. Come on, it's your season, say.
It's your season to be blessed. God made you a promise.
And you stood.
Come on,
windows of heaven.
Windows of heaven.
For you are a blessing.
For you are a blessing.
It's your season.
It's your season.
Oh my God.
To be blessed.
Got a verse, listen. Blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed coming in. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season, oh God, to be blessed. Come on, it's your season, say.
It's your season
to be blessed. Listen. I've been through the fire, I've been through the flood, but I'm standing here because of his blood. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season, yes it is, to be blessed. Come on, say it again, say. Somebody say yes it is. Woo. Somebody say, what season is it? It's my season to be healed.
I feel I feel.